Psalm chapter 116 in the Word of God tonight. Psalm 116, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Psalm chapter 116 tonight. I would like to address our young people somewhat. And let me just say that word somewhat, because I feel at times if we dedicate a service to a certain age group or a life stage, at times we tend to tune out. Oh, this is not for me. Oh, I'm not young. Oh, I'm not old. Oh, I'm not in that life stage yet. But I believe if you and I believe that we hold the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God, the King James, in our hand tonight, when it is open, I really believe that you and I can receive something from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to really impact our life, to do something great for Him. And so although I'm addressing somewhat the young people, I really believe if we tune our hearts for the next couple of moments, you and I can receive something from the Word. Would you look with me at Psalm 116? Well, look with me at verse number 1 tonight, Psalm 116. Look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says this: I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. I wonder if we asked the question, how many love the Lord? I believe we'd get a strong amen. There'd be many that would raise their hand, and many would say, here's the reason I love the Lord. Tonight I want to look at this passage of Scripture, Psalm 116, and as the Lord moves this evening, move past verse number 1, but I want to look at a message entitled, Keeping a Renewed Spirit. Keeping a Renewed Spirit. Father, thank you, Lord, for every counselor that went this past week, for every cook at the camp, for every young person, Brother Burt, Brother Chapel, Brother Sisson, Brother Linders, so many others that have not been mentioned tonight that impacted our young people. Father, we cannot thank them enough. This week, preachers were called. This week, because of this week, missionaries will be sent. Because of this week, young people will go to Bible college. Because of this week, some teenagers will put away sin and never return to it. A certain specific habitual sin that they've been struggling with. Father, it's not because of us, but it's because of the power of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And we thank you, Father. As Brother Larry Chapel said, for the safety that you gave, we'd be foolish not to thank you for that many buses, that many kids, that many games. Father, thank you for working. Savior, give me the words to say right now in the time that we have. May we use it wisely. We love you, Savior, in your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This past week, we've been at camp. Many of our young people were there. We're so thankful for men like Brother Bird and Brother Farrell and Brother Trample and what the Lord did over the last several days. Many are thankful for the way that the Lord worked in our young people's lives. The week before that, we were in Spiritual Leadership Conference. Many of us heard from several different preachers and our hearts were stirred. It was such a way and such a two packed weeks that really at times I feel like you and I come through these weeks and we feel like we're almost on this spiritual apex. We have felt the Lord work. We have seen Him move. We've been at the altars. We've seen the tears. And really, in a great way, our spiritual lives seem to be at this point where we're almost on fire for God. But I wonder now, as this next week moves in, as Spiritual Leadership Conference is done, as camp is now over with for our teens and also for our juniors, now what happens? As summer begins to take place, what happens to the decisions in our life? What happens to those tears that we cried at the altar? What begins to take place is now spiritual leadership and the preaching and the teaching that you and I heard, those things that we worked on. What begins to take place in a teenager's life that now almost it's like, man, we go through camp and we're on fire and we hear the testimonies and we watch the videos, and yet now what takes place? What happens tomorrow on Monday? And what happens the Tuesday after that, and Wednesday and Thursday? And as the weeks and the month, next several months begin to move, what happens in our lives that really almost we've seen this apex, we've seen this great move of God in our lives, and yet what happens when vacations take place? What happens when the long hours of the summers begin to come in? I think at times, even for us, as we go through the motions of Christianity, it almost becomes religious to us. I really believe at times that in this day and age, in this culture, that you and I become almost used to the things of church. We go through the motions of hymns, and we go through the motions of a schedule in church, and we go through the motions of stand up, sit down, sing this hymn, listen to this special, listen to this preaching. Okay, the time is up. We'll head out the doors, we'll shake a few hands, and then, well, that's it. It's as if almost our spiritual lives, the lives that we live, even in church, or our personal spiritual lives, almost becomes this habit like brushing our teeth. We just do it. We just go through the motions. We get in our Bible, but it's not like a camp. It's getting in our Bible, and it's not like spiritual leadership conference. And we go through the motions of devotions, but where is that God that we met with on the mountaintop? And where is that God that we felt when Brother Fair was preaching, or Brother Chapel was bringing the word? Where's that God at that we felt at spiritual leadership conference? It's as if we almost lose our awe of who God really is. This past week, Carrie sent me a video. We have five children. Our youngest twin girls turned 4 years old on the 18th. And I wasn't able to be there, but my wife brought our kids over to Chuck E. Cheese, where a kid can be a kid, amen. And she brought them to Chuck E. Cheese. And as I'm working through the day, she kept sending me these videos. And you know, dads, I'm telling on us a little bit, but we're not quite as excited about videos coming in of kids running around Chuck E. Cheese. Probably like if we sent that video to mom, they would examine it and they'd look at it and they'd wonder, well, why are they alone, and where's their wristband, and how much money did you spend? You know what I mean? But we're not like that. We just kind of look at it. It's the same old, right? It's a kid running around, and yeah, skee ball, wow, big deal, and they don't know how to play that game, and my word, how much were those wristbands, and now they're just going through, and they didn't win any tickets, one ticket. You know what I mean? And so I'm looking at these videos, but this one video came through, and I hit play, and it was one of my twin girls. So they're four on that day, and they're playing. Playing this little basketball hoop, and Nora picks up this basketball with one hand. It's little, and she throws it up there, and it goes in. I'm like, oh wow, that's really cute. And she picks up another one, throws it, and I'm telling you, swish, it goes in, a lot like her father, you know what I'm saying? And she keeps throwing it, and I'm watching her, and all of a sudden, it's like 4, 5, 6, like a miniature Steph Curry, and all of a sudden, I'm tuned into this video thinking, this is my cash cow, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, man, this, we're fine. Shepherds are rolling. Now, and she switches, and I'm telling you, as I watch that video, I'm like in shock. I'm in awe. I'm tuned in like this. This is what my little four-year-old daughter can do. Luck, no doubt, but I was amazed. Understand, comprehend this tonight. That's how our God wants us to treat Him all the time, every day, not just during spiritual leadership conference. Excuse me, not just during camp, not just one time a year. During a revival, no. He wants us to dig in the Word of God and begin to read verses like 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as the head above all. Can I tell you this week, if you and I are going to make decision and if you and I are going to cry some tears, and if you and I are going to gather as a family at an altar and say, God, we're giving up this, or God, we're going to do this, can I tell you, it ought not to happen just one time a year. Yes. There has to be a renewed spirit. Yes. That means it's not just you. You ask the youth leaders tonight, Ask Brother Chappell, ask Miss Ashley Chappell. They'll tell you, at this time of year, this is when we find teenagers giving up. This week. This is when we see teenagers giving in, calling it quits, pursuing other dreams, bitterness, hateful towards the things of God. Excuse me, it wasn't last week, it wasn't tonight when we're all applauding and, well, that's good and that's great. No, I'm telling you, this is when our young people lose that focus that we've had, church, over the last 2 weeks. So what do we do? Well, do we put our heads together and come up with some list and some rules and some standards? No, I think the best place to turn, would you not agree, would be to the Word of God? Amen. To keep a renewed spirit, if you're taking notes, number one, would you write this down? Number one, ponder what He has done. Amen. Look at Psalm 116. Look at verse number one. Now watch as we move quickly. I know the time tonight. Please don't panic, but watch as we run through this. Look at verse number one. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Verse number two, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. If you and I are going to keep a renewed spirit, we must ponder what He has done. You and I must tune in and understand that Jesus will always be here to listen. Can I tell you tonight, young people, let me just help you out, teenagers. Not everybody is going to be there for you your entire life. You may love mom and dad. You love grandma and grandpa. You may love your foster parent. You may love your aunt and uncle or your Sunday school teacher or your youth pastor. But I'm just here to tell you, listen, young person, there are some people that will not always be there for you. In fact, young person, at times there will be those people that make you feel tired or dirty or ashamed or unable to meet their expectations. But I'm here to tell you tonight, young person, our God makes you feel the opposite. God is madly in love with you, and His love is not altered by who you are or where you've been or who you've been with or who you've been hanging around. He wants you tonight, young person, to drop your defenses and to embrace Him. And He doesn't want you for what you can do. I'm here to tell you, young person, He wants you for who you are tonight. Amen. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Look with me at verse number three. Watch what the Bible says. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains, watch the wording here, of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Hey, teenager, let me help you out tonight. Listen very carefully. You're going to have hard times in your life. There is such a thing as the ebb and flow of life. Just because you made big decisions this week doesn't mean that now life is rainbows and butterflies and it's click your heels and from here on out, boy, I'm here to tell you, everything's going to be just okay. Let me tell you something, young person. That is not how it works. Bad things do happen to good people. You and I do struggle and go through difficult circumstances, but I'm here to tell you what separates you and I from the lost world is that you and I have a Savior that will carry us, that will guide us, that will help us through. If you believe that tonight, say amen. Can I tell you tonight, young person, you might go through some struggles this year. You might go through some temptations. You may have some moments where you're going through a storm, but oh, how you and I have a Savior that will help carry us through. Amen. Let's ask ourselves, is our problems, teenager, bigger than God, or is God bigger than our problems? I believe your parents would agree with me tonight that our biggest problem at times is we have a very small view of who God is. Yes. We get down to the mire. We get down to the clay. We get down and say, oh, it's no use. I guess that's it. Let's call it quits. But I love what the book of John records when Jesus spoke. And He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus, what do you mean? Be of good cheer. You just said we're going to have tribulation. Jesus said this, I have overcome the world. Step back and begin to ponder what God can do or has done in your life. Look at verse number four. The Bible says this, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You're going through a hard time. You're going through the muck. You're going through a tough time this summer. Let me tell you something, Christian. The best thing that you and I can do is draw closer to God. Friend, if you only pray when you're in trouble, and you're in trouble tonight, my friend. May you and I call upon His name. Now, let me help you out, parents. Listen very carefully and tune in. I know I'm moving fast, but I've got to. I've been given a time limit, and I will stay in that time limit. So listen very carefully. To all the parents who young kids or teenagers went to camp, your young person needs you not to bash them when they make a mistake. Excuse me. If they got home Friday and began to tell you, I'm going to read through my Bible, I'm going to give up on this sin, I'm going to quit doing this, I told the Lord this past week, I'm done, I'm going to have a good attitude, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever, I'm just telling you, I've done this, I'm sorry for this and this and this. The first time this week or this weekend, they go back on that and they mess up, my friend, what they need is a spiritual leader in their life that will take them aside and begin to pray, hey, you messed up, but it's okay. We have a God in heaven that forgives us of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Our kids don't need somebody that's going to kick them while they're down. They need somebody that's going to lift them up and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Okay, so you messed up. A just man falleth 7 times and getteth up again. Our Savior gives us grace and He gives us mercy. As parents, may we do the same for our children. Amen. They need us. Look at the Word of God. Look at this passage of Scripture. Watch this. Watch what it says. Verse number 5. Oh, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Amen. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse number 8, tune in, don't lose it. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Wow, when you and I begin to ponder what God has done, we realize that God is gracious and He is merciful. And even in this passage of Scripture here, verse number 9, about verse number 7, He gives us rest. When you and I read this passage, we see why we ought to live a life of a renewed spirit every day. How do we do that? In fact, when we look at verse number 12, even the psalmist asks, look what he says. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Verse number 1 through 11, look what all God's done. Look where He took me from, and look where He placed me. Look at Him listening to me. Look at the grace, the mercy, the rest. Look at everything that He said. How do I keep a renewed spirit? You and I need to go back and read every day, verse number 1 through 11, and just begin to ponder what God has done in our life. But you and I, young people, if we want to keep a renewed spirit, we must secondly, would you write this down, promote His salvation. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. How many are saved tonight? Would you say amen? Amen. Okay, well, how about we share that?
Amen.
You want to keep a renewed spirit? Win somebody to the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing in the day and age that we live that some spend more time criticizing others over the silly things of life than they do winning other people to the Lord Jesus Christ? And let me repeat that. Isn't it amazing how some people in life spend more time criticizing others over the silly things of life than they do telling others about the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Can I tell you tonight, friend, if you have a friend that is constantly complaining, constantly getting you down, constantly this is not right and that's not right, and boy, this is wrong, and boy, camp could have done this, and boy, if they would only done this, it would have been better, and well, if we could make it this and this, I'm just here to tell you, that friend is going to bring your spirit down. You know what, one of the greatest things you can say to that friend? Hey, if you want to talk to me like that, let's go out and knock some doors. Let's go win somebody, Lord.
Amen.
Now, whoa. Oh, Brother Shepherd, that sounds great, but it makes for a good point and a good amen. Excuse me. Try it. Brother Rule, I apologize. I forgot your son's name, but young Gabriel stood up here tonight and I don't know about you, but when I see a young boy like that tear up because he won his first soul to the Lord, excuse me, you sit there with a frown on your face and your hands crossed, slumped down, looking at Facebook, I'm here to tell you, you may want to check up with God tonight. That's powerful this evening, friend. If you and I can't tune in for 5 minutes to see a young boy that stood up here and said, well, tonight, I'm telling you, I just kind of went to camp and I went through, but I was called to preach tonight. If you can't raise a hand and say amen, or you can't amen, or you can't clap for that person, I'm just here to tell you, your spirit is not renewed every day. You're down in the dumps, and something, my friend, needs to take place, because when you and I begin to ponder what God has done for us, when you and I begin to remember where He took us from, where He has placed us, and the salvation that is in our life, and the grace, the mercy, and the peace that passeth all understanding. When you and I begin to comprehend that, you know what it makes us do? Tell somebody else about it.
Amen.
May we, Lancaster Baptist Church, never become fat on the Word of God. Let's share with others what Pastor preaches and teaches us each and every week. Amen. Ponder what He has done. Promote His salvation. But number three, would you write this down? Number three, please write this down. Pay my vows. Verse number 14, look at what the passage says. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all His people. Teenager, can I ask you a question tonight? Teenager, tune in and watch now very carefully. What'd you promise the Lord this week? What'd you tell Him? During that quiet time, when that tear rolled down your face, what did you promise God? That was not a once, okay, that was in the moment, Brother Shepherd. You ask anybody. The Spirit was moving. I just kind of said some things. Friend, that's not how it works. You said, I will not anymore. You said, I will. I'm going to live my life for the Lord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get rid of. Young person, keep your vow. Because there are many of Christians that used to sit in this auditorium, and they don't anymore. Oh, and they look like they're living it up on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Oh, they look like they're having the time of their life on their new boat and with their family, and they're getting all their time in. And boy, I'm telling you, oh yeah, we used to be there. We used to do that. Can I just help you out tonight? They might have a filter on Instagram that makes them look happy, but if they're saved tonight and they're away from God, they're miserable on the inside. Can I help you tonight, teenager? Let me tell you, if you said, I'm going to do this, or I'm just going to get rid of this bitterness. God, I'm telling you tonight, I'm just going to forgive this person. God, I'm just telling you, from now on, I'm not going to be physical with this boyfriend or this girlfriend. I'm going to stop looking at this pornography on my phone. Or I'm going to get rid of this pride that's eating me up, thinking that I am just a man or I'm just a woman on campus. But I'm telling you, everybody looks at me and I'm great. I'm this. And I told God this past week, I'm giving this up. Or I told my parents my attitude is going to be better. I'm going to apologize to a youth pastor. I'm going to get these things right. Can I tell you, teenager, the most important thing you can do is keep that vow. Amen. Before God. Right. Amen. But Shepherd, I don't, how do I do that? He'll guide you.
Right.
He'll help you. Yeah, but I already said I wasn't going to, and to be honest with you, I've already failed. No further. Young person, you're not a failure because you sin. You're a failure when you give up. How many agree tonight? We can't let our young people give up. Now you'll know how important you are. I'm a shepherd. I've tried so many times. You understand? I've been at the altar, but the chapel's helped me so many times and over again. I can't do any more. I've been to camp. I gave it up. I've already jumped right back in. This afternoon, I jumped back in. Young person, one of the most paralyzing mistakes we make is thinking that our problems somehow disqualify us from being used by God. Let me say it like this. If God has the power to save you, He has the power to forgive you. It's done. It's gone. It's past. It's over with. If you vowed this week, I'm not going to be watching this type of movie anymore. I'm not going to be listening to this music. It's really bringing my spirit down. I'm going to become more kind, or I'm going to help out more. Can I tell you, friend, if you want to live a renewed spirit this summer, you must pay your vows. But also, would you write this down? Patiently serve. And I'm almost done. Watch now. Patiently serve. Verse number 15 of this passage of Scripture, Psalm 116, look at it with me. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Verse number 16, O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant, the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. How can you and I keep a vision? How can you and I, adults, grandparents, how can you and I, Christian this evening, keep a vision that is focused on God? How can you and I keep that renewed spirit that we had 2 weeks ago at Spiritual Leadership Conference? I'm telling you, the Word of God lays it out. You and I need to serve the Lord. It was Paul that said, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You and I have been bought with a price. You and I serve God, not man. May you and I serve God, not ourselves. May you and I realize this summer it's not just all about Fortnite. It's not all about Red Bull and staying up and nights at the lake and vacation at the beach and what can I do for me and me and me. Can you and I realize that life truly is but a vapor? We're here for a little bit of time and it vanishes away. And the older I get, which happens to be 36, for everybody that's wondering tonight, I feel like that is becoming more and more true, that life is here and that it is gone. May I help our young people out tonight? If you want to keep a renewed spirit, renew your spirit and ask somebody, where can I serve in a nursery? Where can I help in VBS? Where can I serve in the parking lot? How can I help clean up after youth class? Where can I dig in? Who can I disciple? Can I tell you something, friend? If you and I want a renewed vision, stop concentrating on what we want for us. Because what God is dreaming for us is so much better.
Amen.
Friend, I'm afraid in the culture, in the day and age we live, they used to say 80% of the people sit back while 20% of the people do the work. Friend, I'm just telling you, I've been in several Baptist churches. That is not a true statistic. It's probably more like 92% of the people soak up what 8% of the people do. Parents, you want to help your kids this year? Care, if you and I want to help our kids, let's serve the Lord together. Now, wait a minute. It gets quiet on points like this. And I know, Brother Rule, I'm going to be done. I promise. I have one more point. Literally, it's so short. It's really good, but watch. I think we talk about stuff like this. It does get quiet and almost eerie in church. Frank, can I tell you, serving the Lord does not have to be a chore or a checklist. Well, there they go, talking about doing serving the Lord again. Yeah, they're under bondage. They're making everybody, they give them a map and they make them go out. And I have to be there at 15 or 20 or 30 or 45 minutes before the nursery even opens so I can rub down the toys and I can blah, blah, blah. And they go, I just want to tell you something, friend. If that's your attitude, you're not serving God. Because I see a lot of people around here that are here a lot earlier than you and I, and they actually have a smile on their face. And they're not writing an email to pastor complaining about this wasn't right or this wasn't good or the water would taste like this. Or blah, blah, blah. Just say, serving God can be a very enjoyable thing to do.
Amen.
And doing it with your family is even more fun.
Amen.
I think most of the millennials that are in church today are those millennials that their parents served God with the right type of attitude. Can I say that again? And I'm a millennial. I really truly believe most of the millennials that are serving God today serve because their parents taught them how to rightly serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this and I'll be done. Lastly, this evening, would you write this down? Passionately praise. Verse number 17, look at it with me. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, watch very carefully, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Now before you shut your Bibles, listen very carefully. If we want a renewed spirit, we have got to, as the body of Christ, praise him. When is the last time on a Sunday evening, dads, we took our family to church and just praised and worshiped him? When's the last time, moms, single parents, you just took your daughters or you took your sons and you just worshiped God? One preacher said, worship is forgetting about what's wrong with you and I and remembering what's right with God. Just coming in and just praising him. If we're going to praise God, we have to do it with the right type of spirit. You know what that means? At times, you and I have to change the way that we think. Just several weeks ago, when college was in, my wife told me that Tommy had gotten good grades in for that quarter, and praise the Lord for Mrs. Fleming. And we paid her some money, and they brought that. No, I'm just joking. Tommy had gotten good grades in class. Ms. Fleming is an incredible teacher. And so Carrie said, I think you ought to take your son out. He did great. You know, go do father-son time. Said, man, that's a great idea. So proud of you, Tommy. Tonight we're going to go out, just you and I. And man, we're going to spend some father's time. I just want to tell you how proud I am. We go, and my phone rings. And it's one of those phone calls like, man, do I pick it up? Should I not? You know, it's in the evening. And I picked it up anyways. And it's a disaster on campus. And we've got to put this fire out. We got to do, and you got to come, and we got okay. So I get to the college, it's in the evening, and got to meet with several people, and we get together, and it's this roundtable discussion. Tommy comes in. Tommy, be right there. We're coming, buddy. We're going to go. We'll go over to Palmdale, ride some go-karts. We'll putt-putt. We're just going to have a good time. And one thing turned into another. And before you know it, about 3 hours pass, and sitting right over here is my son. By the time I left campus, it's too late to do anything. Everything is closed. On my mind, I got in the car, and I'm a little bit perturbed and just, you know, a little bit upset, a little bit at myself. But I begin to, in my mind, just think about what my son is about to say to me. You ever done this? Like, he's going to complain. Thanks a lot, Dad. We were supposed to go out. We had to sit here. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, here's what my son's going to say. So here is going to be my rebuttal to my 9-year-old son. You know, well, son, life is tough. And sometimes, you know, it's a good life lesson. And yeah, you probably do it with your spouse, but I do it with my kids. Okay, so I'm thinking of my rebuttal to my son. And here it comes. And we're driving from here, just right over here, home. And Dad, Tommy says, Dad? And I said, I thought to myself, oh, here it comes, you know. Yeah, Tommy, what is it? And Tommy said, and I quote, thanks for letting me hang out with you tonight. Amen. Hey, Dad. Thanks for letting me hang out with you tonight. Can I tell you, church? Sometimes life doesn't always go our way. And maybe parent or teenager already made a bad decision after camp. But when's the last time we just started kind of turning that situation around? When's the last time you and I took the bad things of life and began to turn it into a praise? I'll pay my vows, and I just want to let everybody know I'm going to worship God. What if tonight, church, we asked our teenagers to leave their seat and come down to this altar? What if our teenagers saw parents, grandparents, or people that don't even know our teenager leave their seats and come down and just begin to praise and worship God, what he has done in our life?